Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you. Another week, and we're back at it. By the way, you guys are doing great with the ratings and reviews. Please keep that up. Here's what I want to do for 1 week. Just blow Apple Podcasts' mind. It kind of freaks out when you get a bum rush with a bunch of ratings all of a sudden. It tricks the algorithm, puts us in a higher queue where people can see us easier. So do that this week. This is your week to do that for Fun Town. We'd appreciate it. Also, you should know that we're brought to you by Long Beach Jerky Company, the best fucking beef jerky on the planet. Go to @LBJerkyCo on social media and follow them. Tell them that Fun Town said hey, and then go on LBJerkyCo.com and order you some jerky. Buffalo wing, spicy teriyaki, cracked black pepper, and the grandpa's, Gramps original. The grandpa's, Alex's grandpa's original recipe. Get it.
How is it?
Dude, it's incredible. I still have a box for you guys.
Yeah. Where's my jerky?
You know what? I can knock out a bunch of it by driving over and dropping off at Bob and Tom that way. Well, that
you
gives
were
us
over game. There the other day.
I know. I don't think that's I had to be.
No jerky.
That was
no jerky, Austin.
I think you're missing a good opportunity too, because I might be one of the few people that likes a nice hot bag of beef jerky, a nice car warmed. Bag
that's
of
when it's best. That's when it's best.
They get a little soft.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this, a lot of smells.
You guys are gonna lose your mind. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah, he's my friend, but I mean to tell you, it is the best beef jerky ever. That's the only reason I'm friends with him, because his beef jerky is so good.
I believe it, because I remember when Sean got involved in his jerky, mm-hmm. and this jerky has been haunting the friend circle for years now. So I know it's got to be a quality product.
Absolutely. Everybody, you're going to eat beef jerky anyway. Why not eat Long Beach Jerky Company jerky? All right. So how was everybody's week? Anything cool happen to anybody? Anybody get pregnant, Jess? Anybody?
I'm not pregnant. no sperm has been inside me.
So. Oh, no.
Well, good. No, it just means you're using protection, Austin. Doesn't mean
cool.
I like how Austin said it like a negative.
That's what happened.
I'm sorry.
That's how I wound up with a kid. My bad. My wife had to go get tested to see if she's got corona.
Oh,
so we're pretty sure she doesn't. I think she's a little too fine to have corona. So we got to find out, because I got to go to work.
D.L. Hewley said he had no symptoms whatsoever, and then he's performing on stage and he just passed out
and just collapsed. And that is either true or a lie that he's saying to avoid any lawsuits. So it's either true or a lie.
That's true. You pretty much can't say, I felt like I had corona, but I went on stage. No, anyway.
I was certain I was sick, but then when I passed out, that really solidified it for me. Yeah.
Although nerves, I get kind of sweaty. Like if I'm really nervous, let alone if there's lights on me.
Yeah.
So Jess, when you do stand up comedy, you tend to pace a lot and pee about 9 times before you go up. That's sort of what you do instead of sweating a lot.
Oh, okay.
And then when it's not going well, you will start to perspire.
When the laughs aren't coming where you usually expect them to come, then the sweat starts rolling down the side underneath your armpit, down to your waist. And
the number one byproduct of bombing is a very shiny forehead. That is the number one symptom.
Do you sweat when you're not doing particularly well, Jeff?
I sweat whether I'm doing great or horrible or anywhere in between. I am sweating my ass off.
Yeah.
Like I'm like Earthquake. I need to carry like the white towel up on stage with me now. Just own it. Yeah. And just, dab my brow, because it gets... The worst is it'll hang in my mustache, and then when I overly enunciate, I see it shoot out people in front of me. So that's not going to work with all this Rona.
No big pee punchlines for Jeff. Just littering the crowd.
Is that not the worst, too, when you spit and you see it hit somebody in the front row? You're just like,
Jeff,
and you have to acknowledge it. You can't just be like, look at the person like, shut the fuck up.
You'd
be like, hey, I'm sorry. I just spit on this lady. It gets you a laugh every time.
Sorry about your nachos.
Yeah. If If you're doing well, you can pretty much spit on the whole room. But if you're not doing well, yeah, it's bad. They're going to ask for free nachos, as Jeff. Oh, yeah. No, I think Jeff sweats kind of like a rock star, though. I think that's a number one trait you have to be a legit rock star, is you have to be able to sweat proportionately everywhere. And you have to say this. Jeff destroyed at beer when he was there last. I mean, really did. I mean, everyone, owners, everybody came up and said something to me about it. And Jeff looked like he just got done doing the second set at his Madison Square Garden gig. Like, he's done up. He looked like Axl Rose up there. It was crazy.
He has the hair, too. He can just flick it, and the sweat would just, you know, gleam up.
He had a hat on, and your hair was longer, so it was kind of doing that fluff thing a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, you look good.
The worst is always after, if somebody wants like a picture and like they're all up on me, and it's like, oh no, don't, oh dude, I don't want to touch me right now, don't touch, oh gross, like I stink, I smell, I am like sweated through everything, and they have their arm around me pressing my shirt against my wet side, you know? It's the nicest thing that somebody wants to get their picture taken with you. But I'm absolutely so disgusted. I want them nowhere near me.
I love it.
Here's another thing Jeff does.
Fall in love with Jeff.
Oh yeah. Well, this is Jeff's thing. He'll go up on stage and he'll crush. And then every single fucking time on the way back, I'll be like, "Cassette, bro," and he'll be like, oh, "I fucking ate it. I was so off. I'm so sorry." I'm like, "What are you fucking talking about?" Like, but every time. Bad.
That's what I love about Jeff, though. I'm the same way. I'm never happy with it. There's always, no matter how well it goes, there's like five things I know I could have done different, better.
I almost think it's like a superstition with you now, Jeff. If you don't say it, you feel like your brain, you're going to have a bad set the next time.
No, I just, I can't ever, I just, I miss this, or I could have hit that different.
And I'm
very aware of it the second it happens, or the second I'm walking off stage and I'm just like, oh, you know, I should not close with that. I should have closed with this, or that was, you know, I should have left 12 minutes ago when it went really well at this joke, or I don't know. I can't.
And then it sticks in your head for the rest of the set.
It's weird. Like, my ears are clogged all the time, and I can't hear out of one ear anyway. And like, I will, after a show, sometimes driving home, like I will clear out, like hold my nose and blow out and unpop my ear. And all of a sudden I can hear a million times better. And I was like, oh, maybe I did better than I thought. Like, it didn't hear shit out of my ears.
Dude, have you ever gone to a doctor and have them water pick your ear?
Oh,
you should try to do it, because this is what happened to me, and I was really young. So I got selected to be on the scuba team for the state police. You got to go through this like rigorous, like doctor's exam. And they were like, you can't clear your ears well enough, you know? So we don't think we're going to be able to let you on the team. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So, finally another doctor looks at me. He goes, oh yeah, hang on. He just goes and gets this water pick, and he shoots it into my ear and kind of does a circular motion. And he says, all right, tilt your head down, and he had this little plastic bowl thing to catch whatever came out.
A bowl.
And like a cork, like a wine cork of wax came out almost, and went boom. And I'm like, are you shitting me? That's been in my ear all my life. And it was like, I could hear your heartbeat. Like, that was the difference in my hearing all of a sudden. And like, if you rubbed your shirt, it bothered me. It's almost like when somebody's got a hot microphone, and I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
What kind of, was this a mad scientist of some sort? Professor Xavier of the X-Men Academy? Like, what
did you do to me? Yeah, all of a sudden I can hear like birds breathing. What the fuck?
I never knew of the water pick way. I know that people do the candle or whatever, you light it, and then it's supposed to like melt down or whatever. What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can get ear.
It's like a big cone.
I've never.
Don't
seen
use
that in
a
my
birthday
life.
Candle. Just for the record, there's special ear candles do not just grab like one off your mom's
like, yeah, because I was about to go do that
Thanksgiving table and just jam it in your ear and light it. That's not gonna happen.
Another reason why I love Jeff, he shares his life lessons with us always.
Thanks, sauce.
Although I think some of that earwax is good to have. So
yeah, I think
check with a medical professional before you start anything because of this podcast.
Yeah, maybe just go to the doctor and see what they do. But I blew my mind. So Jeff, you might try it. It worked for me.
I have insurance now. Might as well.
That's right. Go for
it. Why not do it? I could run out anytime. So get them all in.
I forget what it's like to have insurance.
Get everything done. Who gives a fuck about driving up the group?
I know.
Premium.
Oh, I don't have to worry about that. I got somebody else at my work who goes to the hospital every other weekend. So dude, I don't have to. They've already ran our premiums through the roof. I don't have to worry about me.
And here's what I can tell you about company insurance policies. They always find a way to go up. No matter what, they always find a way to go up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why through all the Medicare, Obamacare, all that stuff, people talking about stuff going up, like I get that, but like it goes up every year. Yeah, it just goes up. It's going to go up one way or another. I was spoiled
by state police forever because our insurance, they pay part of it, right?
Yeah.
So I was spoiled. I didn't know that like regular insurance was so fucking expensive.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah. It's like,
well,
crazy.
Me and Jessica's boss has eaten the increase the last 2 years. He has covered it.
Oh, nice.
So we have a pretty good.
What an angel.
Work for.
He is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little insurance angel.
Yeah, they're like, oh, premiums are going up again. It's like, what the hell? And then he's going to cover. Okay, sweet. Oh, my God. Or whatever the fuck it is. Insurance is way too good. Hey, young listeners. Insurance is a scam.
Come sit around Pappy Jeff and let me tell you how fucked up insurance is.
Okay, I'll put it this way. I haven't had insurance for 18 years, and I've been fucking fine. And now I've had insurance for like a year, and I feel the exact same as I did 18 years when
Jeff,
I had no insurance.
You went on an 18-year no insurance run?
Yeah.
You are a fucking madman. I cannot believe it. You are a psychopath, sir, and doing stand-up comedy. The amount of driving you do alone, I think I would just have a mountain of insurance.
You should have saw when I... So I had a huge pain in my lung for like 3 months, and I was like, oh... I forgot I have insurance. I'm going to go have it looked at. This was like 6 months ago. So I go in and I go, and the lady doctor, and I say lady doctor only because she was a extremely attractive lady doctor.
Oh, I'm okay. I was afraid it was something derogatory, but go.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies can get a diploma now.
I say lady doctor only because she had tits.
Yeah.
Something like that I was expecting.
Well, and super charming and a doctor. So just nailing it out. Comes in a dress, like a skin tight dress with a zipper up the middle. Like way too, like heels too nice for a lady doctor.
Right.
And she's like, okay, what's your problem? I'm like, I got this pain in my lung. And, but hey, I haven't been to a doctor in a while. So while I'm here, can you just give me the full workup?
Yeah.
And she goes, how long has it been since you've been to the doctor? And I was like, I don't know. I think like 25 or 26. So I left the brokerage firm, maybe 27. that long, so like 20 years, and she just goes, are you kidding me? I go, well, I hurt my finger one time and went to med check, and I went to med check one time with strep throat, but like other than that, like I haven't had a checkup.
I've definitely had no pre-maintenance. Yeah.
And she goes, I'm gonna go get another doctor and I'll be back. And so she went and got another lady doctor who was as stunning and amazing. And they proceeded to give me a checkup and laughed at me the entire time. Like, just how did I survive this long without going to a doctor?
Really?
This starts like a porno. This starts as there's like a hot lady doctor, and you tell her how long it's been since you've been to the doctor. She's like, hang on, let me get my friend to help.
Yeah.
Then it's just a medical checkup.
Yeah.
Because Jeff's an oddity.
It was very professional. Like, I treated both ladies with the utmost respect and embarrassment, as I should, shame, guilt, as they examined my body. I blushed and hid.
Jeff is a man out of time. Like, you were meant for the pioneer days, sir. You were meant just to be cut loose out in the woods. Mm-hmm. Done.
I've been watching Outlander, and I was not made for the pioneer days. I was not made for any time but this time, and I wasn't even made very well for it.
How hot is it? Jeff, how hot is Outlander?
Season one? Oh, season one's the best.
Is it
that good?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like romantical porn. You forget what it's like. You're watching the cutest couple, and they're attractive, and like the chemistry, and then you get to watch details. I don't know.
I don't like romance movies.
You can put it on mute and still enjoy it.
But I was intrigued by the idea that they, time travel and stuff. Mm-hmm. I like stuff like that. But
you get a little history lesson along the way.
Yeah. I watched an interesting movie, and I would be interested to see what you guys think about it, because Henry Rollins stars in it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Henry Rollins, wasn't he in the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Black Flag.
Yeah, Black Flag.
Black Flag. Okay, boom. So anyway, I'm thinking of Flea. Jesus Christ. He's also pretty good in movies. But
Point Break, baby.
Yeah. Oh. So Henry Rollins stars in it, and it's called He Never Died. And I'm 90% through it. And I really like it, but it's not going to be for everybody for sure. But it's subtly really dark funny, a lot of dark humor in it. And basically he's a vampire who's been alive since he's actually Cain in the Bible. And he's been alive since then. He's now in like present day. And the vampires are a little different, as in, like, they don't just like pierce your neck and drink your blood. They eat you. Right. So, but he's like a decent dude. So he's always trying to fight that urge. And if he doesn't, he'll only do it to bad people. So, but he has a daughter, and a strange daughter that shows up in his life now. And he's, he's got some beef with the mafia because of some job he had at some point. But it is, I really dig it. It's like a lower budget movie, obviously, but the people in it, it's good acting. And for some reason, I love Henry Rollins. He's like so stoic all the time in it. Like, he plays like the perfect person for this role. And he just tries to keep to himself, so he doesn't want, because he always wants to eat people. So he's just like, he only goes to bingo because for some reason, old people aren't savory enough to tantalize him. So he's like, doesn't have the urge while he's in bingo.
That's funny.
It's funny. You guys should try it. It's on Netflix.
He's old.
Yeah.
He's old as fuck.
But he's chiseled as fuck. Like, he takes his shirt off in this one scene. And I'm like, hello, testosterone replacement therapy. Good for you. But yeah, he's really
Henry
good.
Rollins has always been pretty jacked, though.
Yeah. One of those people that's born that way.
There was a pretty famous, or I don't know how it was. I take that back. It was famous to me. Like, I'll always remember this photo of him doing a handstand, and he has like a book open below him, and he's like in a full handstand, like just reading and just turning the pages.
Really?
Like, with his note, like,
wow. And
apparently would do that for hours, just be in a handstand and read upside down.
He's jacked, dude.
But he's also alive. Now that I'm a grown adult, Austin, I question it.
I don't know. He's jacked, especially back in the day.
See, little Austin wouldn't have believed that either. I was very skeptical of boastful people as a child.
I believe that. You were probably pretty logical. You're a little Spock.
Yeah, I think I called a lot of people a liar when I was a kid.
Awesome.
Probably my number one accusation.
All right, say this again. So this fat guy lives in the North Pole, and he has reindeer that can fly. All right. I'm not buying it.
You're like three. So I wasn't brought up religious at all, so holy shit, was that a hard one for me to buy into. I didn't understand.
Jeff was brought up really religious. My parents tried, but it was like they were forcing it. Like they were kind of faking it. Like they wanted to be religious, but they didn't really know how. So it like never stuck with me because there was no, it wasn't genuine. I didn't feel like, I'm like, well, you guys don't want to be here either. You know, you just want your friends to know you're here. So
yeah.
Jess, did you guys go to church a lot as a kid or anything?
Every Sunday, which I'm still down with it, I guess you could say. I guess I should be witnessing. Well, no, because my home church is over an hour away. And I tried going to some nearby, but the church I went to was like a little country church. Like if you had 45 people there, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So then a church across the street is like 200 is not a good turnout. It's like, what the heck? So it just becomes too, it's way too big for me and intimidates me.
I mean, there was an entire people that wandered the desert for 40 years for their God. And you won't drive an hour once a week.
I should. Yeah. Well, now I can't because they're all the little old ladies. They can't even go out because of the coronavirus. I don't know what's going on. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the random stuff like church camp and you made friends and yeah.
I'm always curious if there is a God, what he thinks of me. You ever wonder that? Like, yeah, wonder if I'm okay. You know, like I don't kill anybody. I don't commit, you know, sin. I feel the like I should I be see okay, it. But.
Is that if he's the type of guy that I really have to impress him to have a good day, I don't give a shit.
Right. Yeah.
He's petty. He's not fit for the job. And I think we should get somebody better in there. We should get Jesus in there. See if he can do.
But he is God.
See, and that's where
that's 3-in-1. There you go.
And you know what, Jess, this is where I don't understand what's going on.
I don't either, but I don't understand a lot of things in the world. Yeah. But how about this? The main theme is just treat people nice, like love people. That's don't be my a dick. Bible. Yeah. And I'm not perfect. I mean, oh my gosh, look at me. But I just try not to be a total, you know, scumbag. Mm. And that's all.
I didn't mind like some priests, you know, in the Catholic Church. Like to have a good time and drink and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that, but I think I like the Lutherans better because they don't have the celibacy thing issue, which I feel like attracts weirdos. And they like to party and have a good time as well. And then they're still doing their thing, teaching the word, whatever in the hell's going on. So I don't know why I never like switched over. I feel like I should have went to my parents and was like, hey, have you seen the other side of Catholicism? So this is a little more
rowdy.
For the average person. Yeah. I went to my cousin's funeral one time. I don't know if I told you guys this or not, but my grandma's before she passed away, and my grandma was so anti-drinking, and she knew that I liked to drink and stuff. And we were there. It's a Lutheran wedding, so and my cousin's marrying this guy from Germany. So he's hardcore Lutheran, and they're there and the priest, they're doing the ceremony or whatever. And during the ceremony, I like to mess with my grandma. I leaned over and I was like, man, I hope they have a good beer at the reception. And she was like, oh, Todd, we're in a church. Everything's not about getting drunk all the time. And I was like, okay. I'm just grinning at myself. And then as soon as like not 30 seconds after that, the ceremony ends and the Lutheran priest, he says, well, it's now time for the reception, so we'll go down in the basement. We've got some of the finest German beer that you can get your hands on, so let's get loaded. And I was like, yes! Well, I was like, in your face, Grandma. That's a man it's okay. of God.
Yeah.
See what happened, Todd? You talked about it in church, and then it happened, buddy. That's how it works.
I think the issue is being the gluttony side of it, I guess. So if you get too drunk and, you're not treating your body like a temple, but you should always be able to enjoy a beverage. Mm-hmm. As well, I say that, and I get hammered drunk, but you know,
there's like a lot of wine drinking in the Bible, right? Everyone's just drinking wine all the time.
Absolutely.
So. I used to make fun of my grandma too for her church. I was like, and I didn't know anything about her church, but I was just giving her the business one day, and I was like, you got to go to church tonight? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you're going to go there? You're going to break out in tongues? You're going to hold some snakes or whatever? And she goes, Todd, not everybody talks in tongues, just the ones that are touched. And I was like, what? They talk in tongues at your church? And she's like, well, yeah, sometimes. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go. I've got to go one time. And it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
See church hands?
Yes. My grandma would do that. And she would sway.
Church hand.
This guy, she doesn't know how to dance. So she
way more fun than fucking Catholic church all day long.
Yeah.
Catholic church like, is grim.
You aren't going to catch me in a church other than for a funeral or a wedding anyway. And even then, you better be in my family or I won't be there. Yeah. I'll see you at the reception. Or the after party for the funeral after. I'll see you out of the grave. But I'm not coming in. Speaking of wine at church, I used to be an altar boy. Mm. And one of the things, the lay ministers, who are the people who hand out the wine and the Eucharist, they help out the priest, you know, to move it along. We don't have time for everyone to go up to the priest to get their communion. We got to have like 5 or 6 lines going at our church. We got to get home. We got football.
Surprised they didn't walk up through the aisle. Communion. Get your communion.
But afterwards, you had to consume, because all the wine had been turned into the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't just let the blood of Christ be poured down the drain. So the lay ministers would down it sometimes, but sometimes they were alcoholics and they couldn't drink, so they would give it to us. They would give it to us altar boys.
Nice.
And we would just like chug a whole glass of wine, basically. And you would get a nice wine buzz for the rest of Mass. It was awesome.
Wow. See,
and also nice. With you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the most sacrilegious shit I've ever done is they have a big, huge bag of the wafers.
Mm-hmm.
that have been blessed, like pre-blessed wafers, and I took like a handful of them and just stuck them in my pocket and ate them like during school, like I was Napoleon Dynamite,
stole the body of Christ
like with his tots. I had like a pocket full of Eucharist that I was just like snacking on throughout.
You're spraying cheese whiz on them.
Yeah, because like sometimes it was no cheese whiz.
Get
it was
dip, just straight French onion dip for my
straight host.
My wafers.
Did you tell the other children where you got those little wafers? Because then it counts as witnessing and God would be very happy with you.
Well, no, I had done a funeral that morning and then went back to school because like got out of school to do the funeral.
Right.
Went back to school with a pocket full of wafers and snacked on them the rest of the day.
I bet they're good with hummus.
Quietly. No. They'd be great with hummus. Like red pepper hummus.
Oh yeah. That's the shit.
That's my favorite hummus. Yeah.
You know, Catholic Church is very like there's a lot of cardio, you know, up and you're down, you're up, you're down. And first time I took my son there, other than when he was baptized, but he was like, I don't know, 2, and people would stand up and he would get so pissed off and he was standing on the pew. And finally, one time everybody stood up in front of him and he just yells out and he goes, "Sit down. I can't see God." And people were dying laughing. Like, this is the most adorable. You know, he's talking about the priest, but he was like, "Yeah, sit down. I can't see God."
That is like, that's awesome.
Yeah, we go to church all the time. Clearly he understands what's going on.
Speaking of going to church all the time, being that I only go to funerals and weddings, it'd been quite a while since I've been in church. I went to my cousin's wedding this past year, and they've changed some of the words to some of the prayers that have been the same for my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's becomes very evident who hasn't been to church in a while and who is a regular Sunday goer when you got to this part of this prayer, and you know, a fourth of the church goes old school,
right,
and 3/4 of the church goes new school, and it sounds horrible because everyone's off cadence.
Right.
And you stood out very badly.
Is there cancer culture within the congregation?
Yeah,
that's not appropriate anymore to say.
That was the same wedding that my one of my distant relatives kicked over the 44 ounces of Mountain Dew down through the pews. And they had got it Speedway earlier that day.
Yep. You got your Polar Pop.
Polar Pop.
Oh, man. I don't remember if that's what it is or not. Is it Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe it's not even that one. Sure. But you can tell. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. No, Jess, I believe it's Matthew 12:18.
I don't know, but there's a point. So in AA, there's a prayer you would say, and I don't know if it was that one. So then at church, if people knew every word to it, I'm like, oh.
Oh, somebody's been on the sauce.
And yeah. Maybe that was just the AA meetings I had to go to.
Yeah, that's about the only prayer I recognize is when someone does it, just from movies, because you see all, you know, mm-hmm. movies, there's a lot of rehabilitating alcoholics for some reason. It's always that guy or trying when to get his life back together. Yeah.
Or when Titanic's going down.
Right.
And you hear, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Although it was really exciting to learn the Bible verse after you knew Coolio.
Yeah.
And he was doing Gangster's Paradise. I'm like, look at him. He's a poet.
Yeah, then you're exciting. In church and you're like, yeah. Shit, this is getting lit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. You know they're citing Coolio at church, guys? I used to do a joke comparing the Cheesecake Factory menu to the Bible.
Yes.
And
I remember it.
For me personally, my favorite part of doing that joke is anytime I did it, I'd always just bullshit like a fake Bible verse to compare an item off the menu to. No matter what I said, I can tell you, I'm serious, like 99% of the time, there's somebody in the audience shaking their head like, yep, that's what it says. And I'm just like, I've called a few people out, but last time I did it, they did not look happy about it. So I haven't done it since then.
Oh. But
and that right there is just mm-hmm. such a confirmation to me that there's so many bullshitters out there that have fucking idea what's totally in that book.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, Jess. I didn't mean to disturb you that much.
Wow.
I'm sorry. My mic fell over. I can't get this.
God did that.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, snap. Well, speaking of Cheesecake Factory, I will say last night, Donnie likes to do surprise food deliveries. And usually it's for dessert, which is so exciting when all of a sudden
is that him getting ordering something, getting super high and forgetting he ordered something?
No.
Oh, surprise.
It's to me, I'm like, it's so fun because he'll be on his phone. You don't know what he's doing. And if I look over, it looks like he's on Instagram. But he ordered Cheesecake Factory, which is one of our treats. He got 4 slices of cheesecake. There's only 2 of us. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, just in case. And I'm like, if it's here, I'm going to eat it.
When I used to go to girls' night and it was me and like 3 or 4 of the servers from Morty's Comedy Joint, and we would go to Cheesecake Factory and we would sit there for hours and we would just litter the table. We were like, give us a slice of almost everything. And it was just a table full of cheesecake. And we'd only eat like a third of it, you know? But that was just, you just get a spoonful of this one and you go to the next one. Boom, boom. What's your guys' favorite cheesecake?
What kind of fucking decadence is that?
I know.
I want to buy of every cheesecake they have.
You know, when you get drunk.
Did you not know Todd's a pharaoh, apparently, or some sort of emperor?
It's like when you get drunk
in Kingdom.
You wake up the next day and you're like, $700 on my Visa? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you did a cheesecake run. And that's the damage on a cheesecake flight.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'll have a flight of cheesecakes. Do they serve those? They should. God, like just little. Austin. Samples. Oh my
I'm surprised they honor that. If I was ever somewhere and a guy came in and he's like, I'll take one of everything, I'd be like, nah, this isn't a fucking movie, Richie Rich. I'm gonna need some cash. Okay. We're running the card before we do this.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that card at the beginning.
Yeah.
What are you, Shaggy?
Do you guys have a favorite cheesecake?
Oh, red velvet. I will.
That's a good one.
Pair that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on anything Reese's Cup. Peanut butter is
another good one.
Yeah.
How about you, Oscar?
Plain.
I respect it.
Plain's pretty great.
It's hard to beat. Do you ever do the strawberries and strawberry sauce on it?
I'm fine with a drizzle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind a drizzle.
Don't overpower it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You can. I would rather the drizzle on the plate.
Yeah.
And then set upon.
Perfect.
And then mm-hmm. I can add as I yeah. see fit instead.
You're
of
in just, control.
Yeah, I don't like you cascading it over the top of my cake.
Gordon Ramsay would love you. You know, like, hey, who's the star on this plate?
Yeah.
The cheesecake.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of that, last week, I don't even think we were talking about on the podcast, after the podcast.
Yes.
You were talking about Gordon Ramsay. Uh-huh. We're like, oh, you need to check out
MasterChef Junior.
Yes.
I have to thank each and every one of you for that because I burnt through an entire season in a single day. So
it's incredible.
Love it.
It's incredible.
It's somehow you got to give credit to whoever casts it or finds the kids because somehow they find not only the most amazing little kid chefs in the world, but they find the best children in the world. Mm-hmm. Like at their very core, they are the best human beings ever assembled. Like they applaud for each other and they cry when their friends get sent home.
How many times have you cried, Todd?
Probably 7.
Yeah. That's about, I think, the normal first season run is usually cry 7 to 9 times.
So yeah.
I think you're on average.
I'm like, what?
Do they show backstories? Or is it just because they get sent home that you cry?
Later, once they get it whittled down, they start showcasing some of these little angels, and it's incredible.
Oh my gosh, that every time that'll tear me up. And it's like something they went through something tragic, and they rose from the ashes. And
no, luckily it's not as manipulative as other game show. You know, this one is kind of more like one of the kids will be an obvious rich kid from California who lives in a super nice house, you know, but loves to help his mom around the kitchen. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of backstory shit. It's not like, his dad, he lost his dad in Nam, and now, you know, he's baking the perfect cake because, you know, whatever.
I watched the last season because I'll do that first because there's so many. I'm like, I just like older Gordon Ramsay better than younger Gordon Ramsay for some reason. Yeah. So I watched the latest season, or at least the one that's on Hulu, latest season on Hulu. And it has the little person Ivy in it.
Yep.
And the cutest little girl I've ever seen in my life.
She's adorable.
And she made it to the final three. And she's just so much fun. Like, I'm like, how do you make such a perfect person? I mean, my God, she's a complete angel and she's funny and just roots for everybody at her, you know, at her very core. And then my favorite kid other than Ivy was this kid from I think Oklahoma, maybe real country kid. And he was really good at the barbecue.
Who you're talking about? Yeah.
And he would wear like, you know, Hunter's camouflage shirt, Hunter's camouflage hat, the whole time. He is real Southern drawl. And they were grilling for the campers. Like, so they went to a youth camp and they were grilling for like each team had 51 campers to grill.
And
for.
He was on the chicken.
He was on the chicken and he served it raw. And Gordon kind of lost his shit for a second. But then the woman, I forget her name, the chef, she comes over and, you know, to kind of pump him back up and he is bawling. And he's got his Southern twang. And she's like, why are you upset, honey? What's wrong? And she's like, I just want these campers to be able to enjoy their food. And I don't want to send anybody to the hospital. And I'm just really stressed out.
I'm like, adorable. Oh, my God.
Balling my eyes out.
He is adorable.
Yeah.
That kid, too, was like 8. He's a giant 8-year-old kid.
Yes.
I think I liked in that moment is when Gordon Ramsay told him to take off their aprons and the tiniest little kid on the entire show keeps going, no, chef.
Yes.
No, not taking this apron off. Sorry.
I know, we were watching it, and Marnie was like, oh my God, did he really just say that? And he said it again. She's like, oh my God, Gordon's going to kill him. And I go, no, watch this. This kid just saved the episode. And then he was like, all right, then get back to it. And I'm like, look at that little motherfucker.
Yeah.
He just saved all of you.
He just saved all of you.
He's going to kick you all out. Yeah.
Aww. Dude, if I was going to have my kid audition, I'll tell you this for anything, I'm putting him in a bow tie. Like, there's always one kid in almost every series that is bow tie guy.
Yeah.
And if you're just competing against the other bow ties.
Yeah, exactly. So
you don't have to be the best person there. You just have to be the best person there who wears a bow tie.
Yeah.
Jeff would make an amazing momager. Show kids. Can you imagine your this darling kid shows up and Jeff's the parent you got to deal with?
You know what worried me early on in it was you kind of want one person to root against. You know what I mean? That kind of is part of the fun.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking, I'm like, you can't root against anybody in this thing. And then there was kind of this Richie Rich kid, right? And so when they go to his backstory, he's like, so this is my house. And it looks like Tony Soprano's house. Like, it's monster. Yeah. The family's rich as fuck. And he walks through it. And it's like this amazing house. And he has a chef quality kitchen in there to cook at and everything he needs with equipment and whatever. But then he is the most awesome little kid at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't even know he's rich. He loves everybody. I'm like, God damn it. Now I got nobody to root against.
No, it's surprising. It's only people you're rooting for all of them.
Yes.
Like now, and it changes each episode. You're like, come on, Kimmy. Uh-huh. God damn it. Get those fucking macaroons on the goddamn plate. On the goddamn plate. Come on. You know, you start rooting for the kid who's the underdog, or you're like, oh, you know, Joseph's gonna be fine this time, but fucking Kimmy, she's got to pull her shit together and work on that fucking thing. Let's do this shit. Come on.
Now, but see,
I think Gordon Ramsay does a great job of letting the kids go and letting them down and showing a whole another side of him.
Ivy, this is just the beginning of your journey.
Those kids take getting cut from that show better than most adults do getting cut from a show. Like,
absolutely.
They take it on the chin and they're just happy to have been there and they all hug each other. It's way more healthy than when you see these people just like collapse at not winning another week in a mansion somewhere. You know what I mean? It's just weird.
You know what? And when you see them cry, why it's extra sad when they're getting eliminated, it's not so much that they're losing the competition. It's because they've bonded with like, oh, I have to leave my friends. That's why they're crying. Because in their interview right afterward, they're like, yeah, I feel great. You know, out of 10,000 kids, I made it to the final 12 and I got to cook in the Master Chef kitchen. So, and I'm like, awesome. Jesus.
Yeah. Now, Todd, I think you will see if you watch some of the earlier seasons, it's a little bit purer process. Cause I think around season 4, I can't prove this and I'm not smart enough to do the research, but I think they stuck a kid in toward 3/4 of the way through season 4, just to ax him. This little kid named Henry, I had not seen him at all at anywhere in the show. And all of a sudden it's a big Henry episode and Henry's fucking up and then he gets cut. I'm not sure he was on the show until that episode. Really?
They just like, hey, we need to stick a loser.
Or he's just so uninteresting, but a good enough cook to get that far that they couldn't do anything with him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they even did the taste thing where they can tell by tasting it what components are in it. And all, like, you're 8.
I can't do any of that. Cuban? I can't.
Yeah.
I have no idea what coriander smells or tastes like. I have no idea.
I know.
Oh, turmeric?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course there's turmeric in this, Ethan. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I thought it was pronounced cumin, not cumin or whatever. And I literally got corrected maybe like 3 years ago because I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, you want to be cumin, Donnie? And he's like,
That's not
funny. Yes?
Jess is going to be showing all the kids, this is funny. You'll think this is funny when you're older. Just remember this.
Tell Gordon Ramsay this, yeah.
So, Jess, if you had to make one meal to audition to get on a food show, Like, do you have a specialty? Like, and the question's to all of you. I'm not just singling. I just, Jess is, it was.
I think I could do a chili. I make it kind of different, I guess. So maybe chili.
I put radishes in it.
In your chili?
No, I'm being
Oh, mine was this day. That's a crap ton of sugar. There's a lot of sugar.
Jess on chili night. All right.
But Donnie is like a little master chef though in the kitchen. Like he can take any ingredients and just make a gourmet meal, and it's almost frustrating how good he is because I'm like, we have nothing here. I don't know what to do. And then he just has like a meal, you know, three different sides. And I'm like, what the F? And so like, he makes this meatloaf and it's basically sugar meat. And it's the greatest meatloaf I've ever had, but it's the sweetest meat. Like after you eat it, you have to take a nap.
Yeah.
So I wish he would teach me how to make that, I guess.
Don's sleepy time meatloaf. Yeah.
He also uses the cheesecake strawberry schmear on the plate.
Oh, probably.
I love it.
His sugar meat.
Sugar meat.
I think mine might be tacos. Glaze on here, Don? What is this?
I think mine would be tacos. This is my favorite thing to make.
What kind of tacos?
Any kind. Like I really personally love pork tacos or carnitas the best. So like a really seasoned shredded pork and make it kind of like a street taco. I get mad because Marnie likes the giant tortilla. Like she just wants one giant tortilla where I'll want to eat like four smaller street taco sized tortillas.
Yes.
That's how I like to eat them.
You made street tacos for Donnie and I.
Yeah. I kind of screwed those up. Don't judge me on that. Not my best.
I thought they were amazing. But. Like Donnie loved them too. He went out and bought street taco, like the little tortilla guys. And he was like, oh, I'm in the mood for tacos again.
I just like stuff that I can throw a bunch of shit into. Like, so, and I like cutting up bell peppers and onions and throwing, you know, basil in there and whatever I can find that I think might jazz it up, and then you know, like garlic cloves, whatever, grind, smash them down, throw those in there. To me, just tacos are fun to make because you're so busy and you're just constantly chopping something up or smashing it up to add to it. So that would probably be mine, I would say. But how about yours, Austin?
I'm gonna just go with like a burger. I cook enough, but I'm gonna go with a burger. That's pretty much where I shine. Something about it.
Hard to beat a good burger.
Do you cook a medium well? Well, medium?
I go for probably medium well, just because with hamburger, it's a little dangerous. It's not quite like steak.
What kind of meat you going there with?
So what you want to do is you want to go with an 80-20. Anything more than that, and you're a fucking psycho who's not making a burger anymore. So yeah. Go with a nice
80-20. Now you're making sliders. No matter how big the patty is when you start, it's going to be a slider. If it's
75-25. Is even better.
Yeah. Throw Have you ever tried like adding a little ground sausage into it?
No, that's not a burger. I'm talking about a beef burger here, Todd.
I know, but
please
I like
stop talking like... that way about burgers. I don't appreciate this at all. This isn't. We're making burgers. It's beef.
You can have sirloin burgers, right? That's still cow.
Hamburger is an 80-20. Jesus Christ, guys. Do you have anything fucking stupid to say about burgers before I...
You never mix up any bacon in there. You never chop up any little peppers. Any
Ooh, we're on egg right in the middle.
You don't need an egg. That's meatloaf. You do not need an egg. Okay, so it's 80-20. 75-25, you can find it. It's hard to find anymore in 2020. Mm-hmm. People are thinking about their health.
You're right.
But salt, pepper, little paprika on there. Done. Just... one time, flip it once, throw it on a bun with a piece of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's over.
Do you guys like a burger with an egg on it?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Aren't those good? Mm-hmm. It's usually called a breakfast burger or something like that in most places. But
my son used to get that Steak and Shake. I think it was called the Royale or something. He would get that at Steak and Shake. I was like, what are you doing? And then he got it, and like, you know, the yolk broke, and it was like, oh, god damn, you're onto something.
Yeah, I know. It's so
look
good.
At my brilliant son, everybody. What would you make, Jeff?
Oh, probably chili or lasagna are probably my two
like a good lasagna.
I want a lasagna now. Prove it.
But to me, like lasagna, both of those things aren't like a standout dish. You know what I mean? Like everybody makes a decent chili. Everybody makes a decent, like lasagna is pretty much all lasagna. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's still the same basic cheeses, basic meat and sausage. And, you know, there's, you know, you can make your sauce a little bit different, but it's pretty much still, you know, noodles, cheese, fucking meat sauce. You know?
Here's what I like, my lasagna a little sweet. So my mom would always add like a little brown sugar to her marinara sauce and mix it up and make it. And she would do that with her spaghetti too. So for a long time, I could only eat like a sweet sauce spaghetti, or that's what I preferred. But now I've gotten into them a little more refined because I've been to the Olive Garden. I like more of just a straight marinara. Yeah.
You're a man of the world now.
Yeah.
You've experienced the tour de soups. You've done several kinds of salad now. I mean, there's no turning back now, Todd. You can't go back to Shelbyville now.
When I was a kid, lasagna was my favorite dish, I think. That and meatloaf, oddly enough. Yeah. But my uncle married a woman from Sardinia, which is Italy, basically. You know, it's off the boot. So you have Italy, Sicily, and Sardinia together. So she's over and it's the first time we get to meet her, and she's going to make lasagna for everybody. And I'm like, holy shit, here we go. We're getting some real Italian lasagna from an actual Italian.
And where is she from?
Sardinia.
Is that anywhere near Anchovia?
Possibly.
No, it's from the Republic of Canned Chicken. Yeah. That's what it's near.
This is what I learned about Sardinia from him marrying her. It was where, like, all the mafia guys, when they would go to hide out to not be killed, they would go to the island of Sardinia right off the coast of Italy. And they all had homes there, like, to retreat to and just lay low. So there's a lot of hardcore mafia roots there still to this day. And in fact, her brother, one time, my uncle told me that he owed a bunch of money to some mafia guys, and he's like schizophrenic, I guess. And their family's rich. They own all kinds of property and whatnot. And one day they're in the house and just a bunch of dudes just walk in, just open the door and just walk in and go past the entire family. And he's like, what the fuck is this? And they walked upstairs to that dude's room, and they were in there for like 10 minutes or something, walked back out. And then he looked over and he asked his wife, he's like, what the fuck was that? And she's like, I don't know, I'll go check. And she goes upstairs, comes back down, and she goes, well, I guess my brother just signed over the deed to the apartment building to the mafia. Like, instead of paying up, he just signed over a deed to one of their apartment buildings.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's wild.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So anyway, this lasagna I'm dying for. I can't wait. Here we go. And then she dishes it out, and, you know, I bite into it, and I'm like, this is the worst lasagna I've ever eaten in my life, because it was just all fresh ingredients with, like, no salt or any that you were used to. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is bland as fuck. I'm like, banging the table. What's going on?
You're supposed to be Italian. God
damn. This isn't like Stouffer's at all.
Sardinia. I've never even heard of it.
This is the worst extortion lasagna I have ever had in my life.
Sardinia, what's that near Artichokia or Anchovia? Or
you liar.
Salmonella.
I got to find, I need Gordon Ramsay to start a new show, though. And I'll be happy.
Okay. I'm almost have you, out. Now, you probably have to go to the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole bunch of series that he shot over in England that are like English series that he's really done. Like, he does this one, like, he has a hell hotel he goes like to people's hotels and tells them why they suck. And then he has a couple shows, and I always watch just clips of them on YouTube. But they're from England, and yeah, one of them is he goes around and goes to shitty hotels and tells them why they suck, and another one. And have you've seen his restaurant one, right? Where he goes to different people's restaurants and tell them they suck. And
yeah, I haven't seen a lot of that. That's what I should find next.
Those are pretty fun.
Do British people listen to him? Because sometimes I think the only reason why anyone listens to him in America is because he has a British accent.
No, they seem to listen to
like
him.
Todd yelling at me, I'd be like, dude, fuck off. Calm down.
I think he's their Jesus. I mean, he's like quite huge there. So... because that's where all these restaurants started. But I just watched Burnt with Bradley Cooper, which is an older movie, but he plays a chef. And if his character isn't modeled to be the American version of Gordon Ramsay, I'll kiss your ass. He must have I would swear Gordon Ramsay was the consultant on the movie and taught him how to act, because after watching so much Gordon Ramsay, I'm like, even like, and maybe this is just chef talk, but Gordon Ramsay will always be like, you gotta finish the meat off in the oven. Yeah. Like everything ends in. Yeah. Bradley Cooper was doing that. And I'm like, you motherfucker, that's Gordon Ramsay all day. Mm. But they explained like how the Michelin stars work in the movie and stuff. Cause the whole movie is about him trying to get his third Michelin star. And, it was pretty cool. It's a good movie. Also recommend that.
I will say this from my limited work in kitchen experiences. All chefs are fucking assholes who talk down to everyone and think that they're God's gift to the whole fucking world, even though all they're doing is cooking a fucking chicken breast. Like, you've never met a more pompous group of fucking think they're better than you motherfuckers in your life than hanging out with a bunch of fucking chefs.
I bet.
Oh.
It looks cool, too.
They act like they're fucking they're more pompous than doctors. Like, they are more pompous than people who save your life for a fucking living. All you're doing is fucking, you made something and put it on toast, you dick. Like, yeah, it's fucking delicious. Yeah. Good job. But it's gone. I ate it. It's over. Fucking move on.
Yeah, what about these dishes now? Eight different pans to make that whatever.
Don't even look me in the eye. I've invented three sauces, motherfucker. See that sauce? That's me. Second one, also me. Third sauce, all me. How many sauces have you made, Jeff? That's what I thought.
Sorry, chef.
It looks like fun, though. I mean, just how badly do you want to be able to walk through the kitchen to all your employees and just pick up a bowl of something and slam it against the wall and call someone a cunt? You know what I mean? It just looks like so much fun.
You can't do that in a normal kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't want you to.
Like... I get you can't do it at Applebee's.
Oh, dude, that happens at Applebee's all the time. I guarantee it.
That is the biggest... place where you'll hear cunt yelled in a kitchen is actually at Applebee's.
I think I could do Hell's Kitchen. Like, I think I could do, like, all they're doing is running a line. Like, you have one, you have one job. When you're doing a line, you just have one job.
Yeah.
Like, you just have
to. You're on shallots.
Yeah. Shallots. You got to fucking cook the steaks. Well, you fucking cook goddamn steaks. Like, it's not that fucking hard.
I want to go to chef school. Just so I can do the pan thing where I flip it with the pan. Just hold the pan. I flip
learn that on a YouTube pasta. Video.
Yeah.
For free.
I'm going to start practicing. I'm just going to put spaghetti in a pan and just start practicing.
I think for online content, we need to start putting out videos that's just us cooking something as fast as possible. Like Indian street food where the guy's like flipping something or bagging things real quick. Like we need to find...
It takes forever to cook. Oh my gosh, it'd be like an hour for a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
I gotta wash my hands like 20 million times. Like,
but Jess, if we can get you doing 3-4 bologna sandwiches an hour, I think that's a good video. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to, I'm sure he has a show on Vice, I think, too, but he's all over YouTube. He's a Canadian chef. His name's Matty Matterson. He's a big fat tattooed dude who farts a lot and cusses. He makes some badass food and he keeps the mistakes in. like in his show when he's doing it and he fucks it up and burns himself or, you know, drops the shit on the floor. He's just a regular dude, but he is funny as hell. And I will watch, me and Maggie will just sit here and get drunk and watch him cook for hours. Yeah. He's that entertaining.
See, you know what would be a good twist on all these shows is if you took four master chefs to compete and they had like us be the judges and come up with the basket ingredients. So these master chefs would have to cook with like bologna and Velveeta cheese and ramen noodles and, you know. And it's the dessert round, you know, whatever you could throw at them. Just see what they do with it.
Well, here's my pitch idea. And I've pitched it to a ton of people and no one is interested. It's the same thing, only all three of the judges are children. And you have a 3-year-old, you have a 7-year-old, and you have a 12-year-old. And you have gourmet judges trying to cook them a meal. And the 3-year-old just constantly just goes, no, and knocks him on the fucking floor.
This doesn't look like dinosaurs.
7-year-old doesn't like it no matter what it is. It's macaroni and cheese. You love macaroni and cheese. Ooh. Not today, asshole.
Throw it on the floor. They're going to be sick.
Yeah. That's my idea for a show. I want to see gourmet chefs try to cook for 3 fucking picky ass kids and have them judge their food.
That would be so funny. Can you feed a 5-year-old?
Yeah.
I just want to hear one of the kids just go, you know what? This looks really good, but I noticed the carrots are touching the macaroni, so they'll pass. Also, I don't have on my blue shirt, so I'm not eating tonight. Very good. Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, this has been fun, you guys. Let's do it again next week. What do you say? August 22nd, I teased you guys about the Funtown comedy show. The one in Anderson, they're not ready to open yet, so that's going to be later. But August 22nd in Libertyville, Illinois at the Impact Fuel Room. When I understand, it's only like a half hour away from Chicago. So it's me, Jeff, Austin. Jess, you should grab the Dawn. Come up. I don't think it's a bad trip. And come hang out with us. Listen to a show. And also, if you're in Wisconsin, anywhere near Appleton, I mean, this comes out Wednesday, this Friday and Saturday, I'll be there with Chris Bowers, throwing some jokes around for a couple of days. So just get tickets on my website for any of those. And we're trying to set up some more Funtown shows. I got a guy working on it. So hopefully we can get a good little batch, good little run of them going around the Midwest. So, all right. Well, other than that, catch Oskay, Jess Altman on the Bob and Tom Show. As always, catch Austin at his social media and An Evening with the Authors, anything affiliated with that. And we'll see you next week. We are out.